Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is the podcast Woman and Mythology, and I'm your host, Maria. In today's episode, I will retell the story of the Red Shoes, a story that you might have heard before under the title of The Devil's Dancing Shoes, The Red Hot Shoes of the Devil, or simply The Red Shoes. This is a tale that shares some insights into the starved and feral woman. Once there was a poor motherless child who had no shoes, but the child saved cloth scraps wherever she found them and over time made herself a pair of red shoes. They were crude, but she loved them. They made her feel rich even though her days were spent gathering food in the woods until far past dark. But one day, as she trudged down the road in her rags and her red shoes, a gilded carriage pulled up beside her. Inside was an old woman who told her she was going to take her home and treat her as her own little daughter. So to the wealthy old woman's house they went, and the child's hair was cleaned and combed. She was given pure white undergarments and a fine wool dress and white stockings and shiny black shoes. When the child asked after her old clothes, and especially her red shoes, the old woman said that the clothes were so filthy and the shoes were so ridiculous that she had thrown them into the fire, that they were burnt to ashes. The child was very sad, for even with all the riches surrounding her, the humble red shoes made by her own hands had given her the greatest happiness. Now she was made to sit still all the time, to talk without skipping, and to not speak unless spoken to. But a secret fire began to burn in her heart, and she continued to yearn for her old red shoes more than anything. As the child was old enough to be confirmed on the day of the innocence, the old woman took her to an old crippled shoemaker to have a special pair of shoes made for the occasion. In the shoemaker's case, there stood a pair of red shoes made of the finest leather that were finer than fine. They practically glowed. So even though red shoes were scandalous for the church, the child, who chose only with her hungry heart, picked the red shoes. The old lady's eyesight was so poor she could not see the color of the shoes and so paid for them. The old shoemaker winked at the child and wrapped the shoes up. The next day, the church members were agog over the shoes on the child's feet. The red shoes were shining like apples, like red washed plums. Everyone stared, even the icons on the wall. Even the statue stared disapprovingly at her shoes. But she loved the shoes all the more. So when the priest said something and the choir hummed and the organ pumped, the child thought nothing more beautiful than her red shoes. By the end of the day, the old woman had been informed about her ward's red shoes. "Never, never wear these red shoes again," the old woman threatened. But the next Sunday, the child couldn't help. She chose the red shoes over the black ones, and she and the old woman walked to church as usual. At the door to the church was an old soldier with his arm in a sling. He wore a little jacket and had a red beard. He bowed and asked permission to brush the dust from the child's shoes. The child put out her foot, and he tapped the soles of her shoes with a wiggity-jig-jag song that made the soles of her feet itch. "Remember to stay for the dance," he said, and winked at her. Again, everyone looked the girl's red shoes, but she so loved the shoes that were bright like raspberries, bright like pomegranates, that she could hardly think of anything else, hardly hear the service at all. So busy was she turning her feet this way and that way, admiring her red shoes, that she forgot to sing. As she and the old woman left the church, the injured soldier called out, "What a beautiful dancing shoes!" His words made the girl take a little twirl right there and then. But once her feet had begun to move, they would not stop, and she danced through the flower beds around the corner of the church until it seemed as though she had lost complete control of herself. She did a gavotte and then waltzed by herself through the fields across the way. The old woman's coachman jumped from his bench and ran after the girl, picked her up, and carried her back to the carriage. But the girl's feet in the red shoes were still dancing in the air as though they were still on the ground. The old woman and the coachman tugged and pulled, trying to pry the red shoes off. It was such a sight, all hats askew and kicking legs. But at last the child's feet were calmed. Back home, the old woman slammed the red shoes down high on a shelf and warned the girl never to touch them again. But the girl could not help looking at them and longing for them. To her, they were the most beautiful thing on the face of the earth. Not long after, as fate would have it, the old woman became sick. And as soon as her doctors left, the girl crept into the room where the red shoes were kept. She glanced up at them so high on the shelf. Her glance became a gaze, and her gaze became a powerful desire. So much so that the girl took the shoes from the shelf and fastened them on, feeling it would do no harm. But as soon as they touched her heels and toes, she was overcome by the urge to dance. And so out the door she danced, and then down the steps, first in a gavotte, and then in a big daring waltz, turns in rapid succession. The girl was in her glory and did not realize she was in trouble until she wanted to dance to the left and the shoes insisted on dancing to the right. When she wanted to dance round, the shoes insisted on dancing straight ahead. And as the shoes danced the girl, rather than the other way around, that they danced to her right down the road through the muddy fields and out into the dark and gloomy forest. There, against the tree, was the old soldier with the red beard, his arm in a sling, and dressed in his little jacket. "Oh my," he said, "what a beautiful dancing shoes." Terrified, she tried to pull the shoes off, but as much as she tugged, the shoes stayed fast. She hopped on one foot and then the other, trying to take off the shoes, but her one foot on the ground kept dancing even so, and her other foot in her hands did its part of the dance also. And so dance and dance and dance she did, over the highest hills and throughout the valleys, in the rain and in the snow and in the sunlight she danced. She danced in the darkest night and throughout sunrise, and she was still dancing in twilight as well. But it was not good dancing, it was terrible dancing, and there was no rest for her. She danced into a churchyard, and there a spirit of dread would not allow her to enter. The spirit pronounced these words over her: "You shall dance in your red shoes until you become like a wraith, like a ghost, till your skin hangs from your bones, till there is nothing left of you but entrails dancing. You shall dance door to door through all the villages, and you shall strike each door 3 times, and when people peer out, they will see you and fear your fate for themselves. Dance, red shoes, you shall dance." The girl begged for mercy, but before she could plead further, her red shoes carried her away. Over the briars she danced, through the streams she danced, dancing, 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 till she came to her old home, and there were mourners. The old woman who had taken her in had died. Yet even so she danced on by, and dance she did, and dance she must. In horror, she danced into a forest where lived the town's executioner, and the axe on his wall began to tremble as soon as it sensed her coming near. "Please, please, please," she begged the executioner as she danced by his door. "Please cut off my shoes to free me from this horrid fate." And the executioner cut through the straps of the red shoes with his axe. But still the shoes stayed on her feet. And so she cried to him that her life was worth nothing and that he should cut off her feet. So he cut off her feet. And the red shoes with the feet in them kept on dancing through the forest, over the hill, and out of sight. And now the girl was a poor cripple, and had to find her own way in the world as a servant to others, and she never, ever again wished for red shoes. This tale has a brutal ending, and I invite you to stay with the feelings it has caused you. Ask yourself, what are the images and symbols that came alive to you? Where do you see yourself in this tale? Remember that when listening to fairy tales and myths, we're not looking for a logical, rational interpretation, but we are searching for the archetypes and the symbols within it. The heroine in this story is unable to complete her transformation, and that is why we have such a brutal ending. In our next episode, I will offer a symbolic interpretation of this tale. Stay connected with us, and if you'd like to share with me the symbols and your thoughts about this story, please message me on Instagram at Woman and Mythology or through my website, womanandmythology.com. Until our next episode, I wish you clarity of heart to be able to discern between the red shoes made by hand and the red shoes bought by the old lady.
Mythmaker Podcast Network.